The safety of your loved ones has never been more important. That's why Safety Insurance offers the Drive with Safety app, which gives you the ability to monitor driving habits that will help improve the performance of every driver in the family. Plus, save 5% on your auto policy. Ask an independent agent about Safety Insurance. We'll help you manage life's storms.
B-Pod Studios.
From the Los Angeles Convention Center in Los Angeles, California, it's Felger and Mazz live on Radio Row. Presented by your New England Honda dealers and Safety Insurance. Also brought to you by PropSwap, Win Waste Innovations, Globalization Partners, and Apex Entertainment. Now from Los Angeles, here are Felger and Mazz.
You know, people who really loved watching me play, I know what that feels like because I loved watching Michael Jordan play, and I loved watching Steve Young and Joe Montana play, and I loved watching Mike Tyson fight, and I loved watching Tiger Woods golf. So I know exactly what that feels like. And there's elements of it where new people move into those roles, and now you got to enjoy new people. So just, that's amazing, you know, aspect of life. You know, things go on, and I've taken so much from the sport, and I'm glad so many people enjoyed watching me play over the years. Believe me, I love playing more than they loved watching me. So for as many people that love watching me play, I enjoyed playing the game and being in there much more than people actually enjoyed watching me play.
Our two, Felger and Mazz, with Greg Bedard back in our Town for Tire studios. Mazz and I here in Los Angeles, Super Bowl 56 in the L.A. Convention Center. Our two of today's program brought to you by Win Waste Innovations. As promised, back to your calls. Again, that's more from Brady and Jim Gray last night. Not afraid to put him in the pantheon of the greatest players to ever play any sport. Does that bother you, Mazz?
It does.
Yeah, you're kind of smirking. Turn your mic on. Why do you turn that off?
That's becoming
break?
A problem.
Yeah, it's
that's
really
twice.
Annoying.
Okay, it just happened twice. He did it yesterday. He said nothing.
No, but it is true. I did it once. You've done it like eight times.
I've done it twice.
No, you've done it like at least four times.
Okay, you can shut up now.
Why did you turn it off in the first place?
Turn
it on.
Because I said something.
Are you smacking your lips? What are you doing?
No, I said something yesterday, and then Murray said, well, make sure you turn your mic off.
So now you were talking naughty or something.
Yeah, and now.
Why don't you ruffle your papers some more?
So now Murray's complaining that I turned my mic off. Yesterday he complained that I left my mic on. So I get it. I'll make sure I move this over here a little bit. What's that, Bedard?
What's up?
Okay, so am I annoyed?
Yes, you are. I can tell.
Yes, yeah. I just think that any time a guy starts talking about himself and starts naming all these great people, he just comes off as insufferable.
But he is.
I understand.
He is the greatest.
I understand. So, yes, he's in there with Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan. And
did it bother you when Muhammad Ali called himself the greatest of all time?
No, because he was a showman, and I actually think there was some genuine humility there, believe it or not.
Oh, please.
I do. I think Muhammad Ali... to me, I would never mention Tom Brady in the same breath as Muhammad Ali for lots of reasons. But that said, yeah, I do. I find Brady to be insufferable now. I thought that there was a certain charm to him early in his career because he was a regular guy. He's not a regular guy anymore, and that's the part that bugs me.
Not me. I want my stars to act like star, and he's the greatest and biggest and brightest star of them all. So act above it because you are above it, and you're better than me and the plebs.
Back to your phones. As promised, Bob in Londonderry. What do you think of Tom Brady?
Hey, how you guys doing? Enjoy the program. I was just calling, kind of agreeing in a sense what you guys say. Not many people ever mention this, but believe it or not, there were a lot of us who, not because Tom Brady left the Patriots, we are just so tired of hearing about Tommy this, Tommy that. We're tired of hearing about his playmate wife, and this just goes on and on and on.
All right, well, she's not a playmate, but supermodel, but I understand what you're saying. To me, the retirement thing, will I, won't I, is not necessarily a Brady thing. It's any guy. Like, aren't you just sick to death of that thing?
Yeah.
Is he coming back?
Now.
Will he come back? Will you not come back? I'm going to play. I'm not going to play. Like, just, you know what? Let me know when you make up your mind. Because, like, that story lost its luster for me a long, long time ago. You know what I mean? Like, for anybody.
It's become cliched for these players.
Seriously, it has.
It completely has.
And, boy, Brady's just going to fall right into it? I, at one point, thought better of him than that. So you're just going to be another Brett Favre? You're going to be another one of these guys?
So, look, and to the caller's point, I'm not tired of Tom Brady, per se. I'm tired of Tom Brady talking about Tom Brady. So that's what I'm talking. And again, it's good content. Don't get me wrong. But the man in the arena, and I said this when that came out, the incessant flow of like documentaries about himself. Enough.
We've got Charlie in Cranston, Rhode Island. Hi, Charlie, on the coaching. What do you got?
Hey, yeah, I want to say after this Joe Judge thing, I have completely lost faith, and I want a call for John Kraft to put on the big boy pants and clear out the poop soup that is Patriots coaching. Please. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, and it's not just Belichick. It's the staff, Greg. And again, Greg Bedard joins us from our Town Fair Tire Studios. It's just, I agree with Maz. Even though Bill still obviously has his wits about him and is still can perform at a high level, although I think he didn't last year, I still think he's capable. It is at an age when, I'm sorry, he does need more help. He does need more help. And it feels like he's giving himself less. No?
Well, you could say that, but you can also look at it and say, well, he's putting his type of people, the guys who listen to him and will do exactly what he wants on each side of the ball in all those spaces, so he can sort of take a step back. But here's what I would say, you know, to the Patriots fans like Charlie who feel that way. Like, I don't want Bill Belichick to be some sort of coaching collective. Like, I don't want it, you know, by committee, and we're going to do this, and we're going to share ideas. The Patriots were the Patriots when Bill Belichick did everything himself and kicked ass. And basically said, I'm doing everything. This is the way we're going to do it. You're going to do what I want. And instead, now, with every passing year, it seems like he's taking more of a step back, encouraging, hey, what do you think of this? And I want your ideas on this. Like, no, that's not how the Patriots became the Patriots. It became the Patriots because of Belichick. And they keep going further and further away from that.
So, I mean, you know what my answer to that would be? Bill Belichick kicked ass when he had Tom Brady. So that's what my answer to that would be. I haven't seen him kick ass without Brady.
Come on. Well, I mean, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Maz. But, I mean, we're talking six championships, and it wasn't like Tom Brady was dominating the landscape for the first three titles. So we have some different views at this. And when it was, you know, one voice, Bill Belichick is God in football, that's when the Patriots ruled the earth. And in the past couple of years, when he's sort of stepped away a little bit, now all of a sudden they're just like every other team. And yes, it coincides with Brady walking away. I'm not an idiot. I understand that. But I think we can differentiate between sort of the different regimes of the Patriots and say things have really changed around here. Well, and not necessarily for the better.
Let's differentiate, and I agree, not necessarily for the better. The winning and the losing, you know, like when Brady was here, they won, of course. But they were also well-coached. Like, Tom Brady should not have any influence on whether you line up properly on defense or line up properly on special teams. He does influence pre-snap penalties on offense. But what I'm trying to say is, Brady or not, they're not as well-coached as they used to be. I mean, these things I'm talking about, the pre-snap penalties and the special team stuff, it all goes back to coaching. And that is not what it used to be. So whether that was Bill being fully involved then or less involved now or the brain drain that's going on down there, that has changed. They're not as well coached as they once was. And if Brady were here, yeah, they'd still win because he'd overcome it. But I'm just focusing on how they're coached. They're not well coached. Tim in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, the kicking ass is over. As a Giants fan, I think it's absolutely amazing that you guys are Joe Judge. He is so bad, and the Giants offense was so inept. And Murray was right. They did get worse after they let go of Garrett. But Judge was actually overseeing the offense, pretty much like the role he's going to have with the Patriots.
Yeah, scary. Giants fans are probably looking at you going, like, there are now fans across the league. Lions fans are looking at you going, seriously, Matt Patricia? And Giants fans are now looking at you going, this guy? Seriously? You know, there's fans across the league saying, that's the guy you're bringing back to take over your offense or your defense? I mean,
he said
the
same thing after McDaniels, too. And that worked
out. Well, I mean,
out.
This is true. This is true. Fair enough. But I thought McDaniels was always good, even though he failed as a head coach. I've always sort of thought he knew what he was doing. These other two, I never felt they knew what they were doing.
I mean, what have these guys distinguished themselves as without, you know?
I mean, Josh at least went 6-0 to start the thing in Denver, and then it fell apart. These guys never had anything close to a six-game winning streak.
Right, which is why, again, and I'm talking about them as head coaches. I like McDaniels. I think McDaniels is capable. I did say along the way I thought he was overrated because he had Tom Brady, but this past year he obviously did a lot to win that back. But Patricia and Judge, How does Bill somehow see these guys as like your buddy Ryan?
He doesn't. He sees them as free, and he likes them, and they're his guys. Couple Brady thoughts quickly. John in Gloucester, go.
Hey, guys. I think Brady's definitely coming back, and he's going to San Francisco. San Francisco's already a win-now team, and all they're missing is a quarterback. I think he's going to go there, win a Super Bowl, and then he's going to retire.
Okay, Joel in New Hampshire, what's your Tom Brady thought?
Yeah, actually, he almost has my thought. The one thing about Brady, I think he and Giselle worked out. He'd like to play one more year. He wants to go home to California. He wants to go to San Francisco because Garoppolo's out, and he can mentor Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that's what Tom Brady definitely wants to do. He definitely wants to mentor young quarterbacks, take time out of his day to work with a young kid who doesn't know what he's doing. David in Littleton, quickly.
Hey, guys, real quick, just preface this by saying I'm not a big Antonio Brown fan. However, I believe that, to answer your question from earlier, what really soured Tom at the end was Arians wanted Antonio Brown off that team. I think they were butting heads. Tom said don't, after all the investment he made in him and had him in his home and whatnot. Arians pushed that button, and he got him off the team. And I think that was the final stroke for Brady. He said,
okay, let me just stop you there. That might have been the final straw. Clearly, there's something up with Brady and Tampa. You were going to say something, Murray?
Yeah, and I think we're missing the team. If he were to come back, I think it's Miami. They're building this new eco mansion, him and Giselle, in Miami. They need a quarterback. Jimmy Stewart has mentioned that there was some kind of issue there with the Niners brass and Kyle Shanahan, and it wouldn't work with Brady. Well, now that they have that OC that was in the with the Niners, new head coach there, new blood, you think that he's going to be telling Brady what to do? I think the Miami Dolphins would be the spot for Tom Brady if he were to come back.
Stu heard a great story about what happened with Brady in San Francisco last year. Jimmy Stewart says the story he heard was that when Brady talked with Shanahan and John Lynch last year about joining the Niners, or 2 years ago then, right?
Yeah.
Shanahan was telling Brady what he would need to do during certain situational plays. And Brady started referencing situational plays from the Falcons Super Bowl game. At that point, Shanahan decided Brady was not the right fit for the 49ers. Brady looks at Shanahan as insecure.
He's right.
Yeah.
So Shanahan started going over certain situations with Brady. They were talking it out. Maybe Brady got a little hair across his ass in the course of that and started pointing out situations to Shanahan in the Atlanta Super Bowl, at which point Shanahan says, maybe this isn't the right fit. Wow, that's a good one.
You know what? I could see that happening, too, because remember, during the Rams Super Bowl, Brady's the one who said to Bill, let's just kick it.
No, that was the Rams Super Bowl, right. Maz will remember this. We were at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and a former NFL GM was sitting down with us. We did the whole interview, and he stood up. And the last thing we were talking about was that Atlanta Super Bowl. And we were blaming Shanahan or blaming Dan Quinn for not running the ball at the end and kicking the field goal to give him an 11-point win. And after the GM got up, he took his headset off. He said, it's Matt Ryan. We said, Matt Ryan? The call comes from the sideline. It comes from the coordinator or the head coach can veto. What do you mean, Matt Ryan? He looked at us and said, you think Tommy would have dropped back to pass there? No way. No matter what they said in his ear, he would have handed the ball off. And I found that really, it's sort of instructive. Like,
absolutely.
You know, Matt Ryan just went ahead and did what they said when it was obviously the wrong call, and Brady wouldn't do that.
Yeah, on that one, I would look at it and say Brady has a better clue than Kyle Shanahan does.
All right, anyway, 10 questions with Bedard right after this.
If you own a home and are not using the sun to offset your energy bills or provide a backup power source during a blackout, it's time to do what I did and contact Devlin Solar. Devlin Solar is bringing affordable green energy to New England by using the latest solar technology to provide efficient energy solutions. To see if your home qualifies for solar, call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com. They put a system in my home and it's great. So do what I did. Reduce or eliminate your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. Financing is available through Sunnova. Don't wait. Call 800-818-5641 today.
Hey.
Felger and Maz are back on Radio Row.
Oh, I like this.
Broadcasting from the L.A. Convention Center.
Boring.
Presented by your New England Honda dealers. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, it's time for 10 questions with Bedard. We do this on the road, as we would do it back at the shop. 10 questions with Greg Bedard is presented by Granite City Electric. Electrical contractors, get on board the GCE Night Train. Order your materials to be delivered overnight to the job site the following morning and save time and money. Go to GCENightTrain.com. I was late coming back a little bit because I had to go sit outside and de-thaw. It's freaking freezing in here. It is so annoying. I like, one of the things that annoys me as much as anything, Maz, is freezing cold rooms at work or in a restaurant or something. Like, why do you have to blast the air? It is.
And it was fine in here yesterday until.
No, it wasn't. It was freezing yesterday.
Well, initially, Mike, but then this one here tapped into the mainframe with his app and then lowered it to what, like, it normally is back in Dorchester.
It's like, if you could see Jim Louth, or he's got shorts and his shirt on. It's like, it's freezing in here. What's so annoying is that it is absolutely gorgeous out there. I mean, it is 77 sunshine, perfect. And you come in here and I've got like layers on. It's so annoying. I can't stand that. What is the need to crank? You, like, all because you guys run so hot, you sweat, you've got it sit in an ice box just to calm down? Like, calm down.
This is not my fault.
Maybe I still blame Maz.
I do blame Maz. He's definitely, he's got
like somehow. No, I've hacked into the refrigeration system.
You do it at the Town Fair Tire Studio. You've done it here at the LA Convention Center. I'm convinced of it.
If I could hack into anything, I'd track into the traffic system here in LA. That's
freezing.
What
it's so annoying. Sorry. 10 minutes. Now we have 8 because I was just ranting and raving. We have to be on time, Jimmy. Quick, buzzer options.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Oh, that's great. Oh, well, he sucks. He sucks.
Socks, stocks, stupid, sucks. Socks, he sucks. He's stupid. He sucks.
Yeah, lose the Super Bowl. That's you. You suck. Next.
Bill doesn't want the cock in the hen house. What's the phrase?
The wolf in the hen house?
The fox. The fox.
Who wants a cock in the hen house? Next. To interview Mike O'Connell with the Rams.
Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin. Okay, next. Go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Jim here for Jim Murray here for. Do you remember your name, Jim? Yeah, it's Jim Murray.
Jesus.
Give me the other one. Give it to me.
The Beanpole Tournament is back.
Beanpole!
What tournament?
Beanpole.
And the indignant response.
Keep her off the Beanpole.
The Beanpole, Mike? Go ahead. Next.
That's it.
Okay, hit it.
The Beanpole Tournament is back.
What tournament?
The Beanpole.
The Beanpole, Mike? Quickly now. We got to move quick because I've flapped my gums. What is the least inspired coaching hire this offseason?
Lovey. Why did they fire Culley again?
Matt Eberflus, Bears. That hack that Joe Judge wanted to be. That guy's going to explode. That thing will be a massive failure.
Yeah, Eberflus. I can't get the hits program out of my mind. He's Joe Judge with a script.
Next.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Thank you. That's his GM, Poles. Which is the final in the Beanpole. BU Harvard. Anyway, what's the best coaching hire this offseason, Greg?
Brian Daboll. I think he's at the perfect time in his career, has alignment with the GM, just ahead of McDaniels and Ziegler in Las Vegas.
So I thought he was going to say McDaniels, so I was going to go Daboll, but I'll say McDaniels.
Yeah, I also think McDaniels with the Raiders. He seems humbled and ready for the second chance to do it right.
Next.
Hey, everyone. Jim here for Jim Murray here for. Do you remember your name, Jim? Yeah, it's Jim Murray.
Having a stroke.
Fill in the blank. The Packers hiring of Rich Bisaccia as special teams coordinator is ... I'll answer it first. Pathetic. Pathetic.
Why?
Because the head coach can't coach special teams. He's got to, like, hire a specialist for the effing kicking game to get his punt team lined up. It's pathetic that the Packers head coach has no clue. None. Zero. About the kicking game.
Mike, this isn't about LaFleur. They have been terrible on special teams since I covered the team. They were awful early during all of McCarthy's tenure. Awful.
Okay. Fill in the blank, Maz, is what?
Smart. Because the coach obviously can't coach the special teams, so he needs someone else to do it.
Too little, too late. You could have used them last year.
Thank you. Next.
Oh, well, he sucks. He sucks.
Socks, stocks, stupid, sucks. Socks, he sucks. He's stupid. He sucks.
Number 7, fill in the blank. If Matthew Stafford wins a Super Bowl, he'll prove blank.
That win-loss is not a quarterback stat. That don't judge quarterbacks off of where they are as far as a program and nurture over nature, all that stuff. It doesn't matter. It's where they land. It's not who the quarterbacks are.
He will prove that you can be a loser your whole career and still win a Super Bowl. That's what he'll prove.
That Sean McVay can make chicken salad out of chicken crap.
I'm with you guys. I am not with Bedard. It will prove that if Matthew Stafford is surrounded by a great team with a great coach and put in position, yeah, he can break through, but he can't elevate a bad team. That's what it'll prove to me. Next, to interview Mike O'Connell with the Rams.
Kevin O'Connell.
Toolbag question. Who is the biggest Super Bowl week tool bag in NFL history? And I mean, usually it's the last couple of years have been different because of the pandemic, but usually every week features some tool bag with the spotlight on them or a tool bag act of Super Bowl week. Who is the biggest Super Bowl week tool bag in NFL history, Greg?
Jim Gray in that Toucher and Rich interview.
Excellent job, Greg. Excellent job. I went Eugene Robinson, guy with the Atlanta Falcons.
Slam dunk.
Oh, yeah. Who, you know, was he the man of the year?
He was getting a Christian Athlete Fellowship Man of the Year Award.
And then went out and got
ducked out,
by a hooker.
Was there with his family. Said, I got to step around the corner here for a minute. I got to go grab something from my car. Went out and got a little. And, you know, Eugene Robinson, yes.
But at least he came back. I go with Barrett Robbins of the Raiders, who went AWOL and skipped the game to go pass out in Tijuana.
Yeah, Mexico.
Right? Yeah, there's always somebody. Next. Bill doesn't want the cock in the hen house. What's the phrase?
The wolf in the hen house?
The fox. Jesus. Number five. What's your favorite Super Bowl childhood memory, Greg?
My first Super Bowl that I remember, Super Bowl 16, the 49ers and the Bengals, just 8-year-old me sitting there transfixed, Silver Dome, the lights coming off the 49ers gold helmets. I thought the Bengals were cool. Kenny Anderson, Chris Collinsworth. I loved it. I was transfixed.
I would also say Niners Bengals, but the other one, which was Montana to Taylor, Joe Cool, 8-for-9 for 97 yards.
You were out of college by then.
Well, yeah, but I was still a kid.
Childhood.
I was a kid at heart.
He's still a child.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I said to Murray, but I knew someone was going to pick that one because that's the only one I remember as a kid. Was the first one, so I'm going Montana to Taylor.
Pat's Bears. I was 9 or 10 years old. Just all the buzz surrounding it. My parents were jazzed up about it. They had a Super Bowl party. I was jazzed up about it, and then the game happened. But the lead-up was awesome.
Yeah, for some reason, it was Super Bowl. I can't remember the number. It was Dallas-Denver. I'm a little older, maybe than most of you, not Maz, but was that 1976? I'm like, I can't remember the year, but that felt to me like a really hyped up game, and I wasn't a huge Cowboys fan, but Staubach and that, I don't know why, I just remember that game. Maybe it was a big Super Bowl party at our house or something, but
55-10 or something.
Like it was not much of a game, but that was, for some reason, that's one that I remember. Next.
The Beanpole Tournament is back.
What tournament?
The Beanpole.
Wow. If there's one thing you could change about the Super Bowl, Greg, the game, the week, whatever, what would it be?
The game would be on President's Day weekend every single year, so everybody had Monday off.
I don't like that the game goes really long relative to other games. I would like to keep it more consistent with other games.
It's played in 4 cities, and that's it, and the lesser host cities can screw. You get Miami, New Orleans, here in L.A., Vegas. That's where it's played.
Next. To interview Mike O'Connell with the Rams.
Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin, how do you feel about the game presentation as a TV viewer? Greg, what do you like or not like about the TV product?
I hate and I do not participate in any of the hours of pregame bullcrap. I do not. It's stupid. It's so stupid.
I also think the pregame is way too long. That's part of the problem on the day of the game.
I could mostly do without the halftime nonsense. More often than not, it's not an act I care about, and it just goes on way too long.
So, to me, it's the commercials and how you all fixate on the commercials. Like,
yeah, it's water cooler talk.
It's like, oh, you got it, and then the next day you all talk about the commercials?
Yeah.
It's like, what's the matter with you people? Like I've never gotten that. Or being at a Super Bowl party or being, I try not to do that, but, being with other people watching the game and everyone's gathered around to watch the commercials. Like, what? Go do that somewhere else when you're watching your shows or online. Like, this is a football game. Why am I talking about a commercial?
Yeah, I don't get the limu emu.
Next.
Hey, everyone. Jim here for Jim Murray here for. Do you remember your name, Jim? Yeah, it's Jim Murray.
Number two, where would we rank Los Angeles in terms of Super Bowl cities? Greg, I know you're not here right now, but do your best with this question.
I put it after. There's four that I have to be at. New Orleans, Miami, Tampa, and Arizona. It's after that. It's in the second group. It's certainly above any northern teams like Minneapolis. That was
so
ridiculous.
Yeah, to me, the question is, I'm sorry, I'm just going to jump in. I mean, it's New Orleans, Miami, 1-2. Then we talk about, would you rather be here or Arizona?
Here.
Here.
Scottsdale's pretty sweet.
Yeah, Scottsdale's like good, yeah.
Okay, I don't like Phoenix. I'm not particular. I have no use for Glendale or whatever.
Too landlocked.
Scottsdale.
I like Scottsdale a lot.
Scottsdale works.
Yeah, I will tell you, though, where I put L.A., ask me tomorrow. I'll let you know after tonight.
And for that, I've got to go to these with you guys. This is now two behind Miami. I love this city.
Yeah. Okay.
Murray, what did you think of Tampa last year?
I didn't get to go.
Yeah. Oh. So, who did?
Oh, right. I mean, okay.
But Tampa's warm, but after that.
Oh, it's a dump.
Yeah, I mean, it's please. All right, next.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Thank you. Okay, game prediction, Greg.
I'm just going. I'm rooting for the upset, so I'm going Bengals 23-20.
Bengals 24-23.
Rams 30, Bengals 17.
Something like that. I'm with Murray. I think it's the Rams year.
Oh, boy, that took balls.
Thus concludes 10 questions. Back to your calls right after Murray gets you updated.
Hey, everyone. Jim here for Jim Murray here for. Do you remember your name, Jim? Yeah, it's Jim Murray.
Did you know the VA provides a clothing allowance for qualified veterans?
Veterans benefits are always changing, and we've got your back. The SITREP is a show by veterans for veterans that answers questions about VA disability, VA home loans, VA health care, and even ones you didn't know you had.
Let's jump right into it. Are VA police real cops?
Allow us the privilege of connecting you with the benefits you earned and deserve. Search hashtag the SITREP on YouTube and subscribe today.
Nobody does Radio Row like Felger and Mass.
This sucks, that sucks, this sucks, that sucks.
Presented by Safety Insurance on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Radio Row at the L.A. Convention Center. This hour of the program brought to you by Wind Waste Innovations. Greg Bedard back in our Tom Ferterior studios in Dorchester talking about Tom Brady leaving the door ajar, purposely so, to return to the National Football League, and the Patriots bringing back Joe Judge, reportedly, in some sort of supervisory capacity, probably on offense. Your thoughts on both stories. Sal in Connecticut. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Greg.
Can I make one point on Judge? Look, We heard his press conferences with the Giants, especially that one last one that was just a debacle. But we also need to keep in mind here, this is a guy who was offered the Mississippi State head coaching job, was offered the Giants head coaching job very quickly. Bill Belichick thought enough as a coach, as his work as a special teams coordinator and his offensive background to give him the wide receivers when he was here. So, like, I just don't want to go overboard with criticism of Joe Judge, because all the actions that we've seen and his what he had available to him tells us that he's a good football coach. And, you know, did he overstep? Did they give him too much too soon with the Giants? Yeah, but that's not his fault. But I think he's a good football coach, and we sort of a little bit need to see how this whole thing plays out.
I respect your opinion on that, Greg. And you obviously have more inside knowledge than I do. But I'll just tell you from my perch, where I sit, I think the guy's a freaking clown. I think he's, yeah, if you carry yourself like that publicly, if you carry yourself like that in front of the camera, you don't have a clue behind the camera either. It's just, there's no way I could look at that guy and the way he carried himself and say, yeah, that's the guy. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't think he can do it. I don't think Patricia can do it, and I think Bill is bringing back too many guys that aren't really that good just because they're free or cheap or he's comfortable with and he's got a relationship with them. And I feel like he's building the whole staff back up like that, and I think last year was a bad year from the coaching staff's standpoint, and it ain't getting better. Feels like it's getting worse. Yeah. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's just my opinion.
Look, I hope I'm wrong. Because I don't want them to disintegrate, and I feel like the overall staff composition has become a bit of a clown show. How many times can you milk the same cow?
Sal in Connecticut. Go ahead, Sal.
Hey, first time, long time. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, this whole Brady thing is going to turn into the Elvis Presley thing. Like, oh, he's alive, he's alive. You'll see, he's going to make an appearance. But with Tom Brady, it's going to be like 15, 10 years down the road. He's like, oh, he's coming back. You'll see.
Not 10, 15 years, Sal. Let me stop you, Sal. It's not 10, 15 years. It's Mac Jones gets injured in training camp. Yeah, Felga, he's coming back. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
this is, he had this plan. This is how he'll retire a Patriot.
They lose two games at the end of September. Yeah, Felga, here comes Brady. This is his perfect chance. You know, it's like, I'm getting ready for that. That's going to be annoying.
No, no, and Bill will get all the credit for having foreseen the whole thing before it actually took place.
Jay in Boston on Joe Judge. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, listen, as a Giants fan, I find this both amazing and appalling that that Bill's hiring Joe Judge as an offensive assistant. I mean, come on. The last third to half of the year, he had the Giants offense averaging less than 12 points a game. And he's the guy that wanted and hired Freddie Kitchens to be on his staff.
Thank you. Right. I was just going to say, people were talking about Jason Garrett back there on the staff. It was also Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that grouping? Joe Judge, Freddie Kitchens, and...
And the Clapper.
And the Clapper. Jason Garrett. And no wonder. And no wonder Daniel Jones is a freaking mess. He doesn't know which way to throw the ball. Like, what have these guys done anywhere? I mean, Patricia's defenses stunk. Joe Judge's offenses stunk. I know you can say the same thing about Josh McDaniels, and I think he's good, but it's like none of these guys have done anything anywhere.
No, this is why
am I supposed to feel good about them?
You shouldn't feel good about them because, again, what it really comes down to is that they will implement what Bill wants implemented, and that's the end of it. And I think they need someone now who will give Bill a little bit of pushback and can take a little more on. I mean, I think, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was one of the good things about McDaniels. He had a certain level, not entire, but a certain level of autonomy with the offense.
Absolutely. I mean, that freed up Bill a lot. Where Josh McDaniels, by the end, the last 4 or 5 years, he was head coach offense, basically. And that allowed Bill to focus more on the defense and special teams, which didn't exactly go well last year.
Long commercial-free segment comes your way right after this.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Frazier Engineering. Frazier Engineering is now hiring pipe fitters, plumbers, and HVAC techs to join their team with great pay and benefits. Apply now at FrazierEngineering.com. Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work.
From the Los Angeles Convention Center in Los Angeles, it's Felger and Mazz on Radio Row, presented by your New England Honda dealers on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Real quick, Jim in Manchester, what do you got for me, Jim?
Hey, how much did you drink last night?
If you saw how much I drank, you would be... What makes my condition day so embarrassing is how little I drank. That's the story.
I would agree.
It's not that
lightweight.
Not the way I feel today, which is clownish. My hangover is almost clownish in its intensity. I feel like absolute ass.
Oh, you look worse.
If you saw what I drank, I had a couple Miller Lights.
You can't mix, especially past age 35. You can't go beers. Now I'm going to have brown liquor.
I'm going to have brown liquor, brown liquor.
One brew.
I'm going to have brown liquor, brown liquor.
One sky.
Now I'll go back to beers.
One beer.
And then all of a sudden, you're a complete disaster.
You jackass. You're going to pound beers all night and then switch to liquor and think you're going to survive it?
We're playing a little hurt. So if you're watching on the simulcast, I think we threw up the Fuppets there. I don't have a monitor, but either way, that was a Fuppet special from Hardy. That was from Atlanta?
That was from Atlanta, yes.
Was that
Patriots Rams?
You desecrated the Uber.
I was going to say, was that the year I didn't quite make it home in the Uber?
Yep. Best $100 I ever spent.
I'm sorry. The $100 was spent how?
Cleaning charge.
The cleaning fee.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
He doesn't remember
didn't take
that
long.
Either.
That was my Mona Lisa. That was Tom Brady fourth quarter against the Seahawks. I don't know if I'll be able to match that again. I tried in Miami, my damnedest. But then we went out to that meal, and you stuffed your face. And when you eat, when you're getting banged up, we all know, like, it absorbs everything. And then you were, like, fine a couple hours later. You were teetering at that Heat game that we were at. And I was like, oh, I got him on the ropes again. And then we had those big stakes, and you bounce back.
Okay, we'll see.
Atlanta one was, that was awesome.
We'll see what we got tonight. It is Super Tuesday. After a year off, we're back at it. So we're going to start little Manhattan Beach action.
Yep.
Then we got Bucks Lakers. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, that should be pretty good.
Okay, looking forward to that. There will be a little governor on me in the early portion of the night because I've got to run over here to Radio Row to do Boston Sports Tonight with Holly.
So that's probably a good thing for you.
The arena's right there. It's like literally 50 yards. Like, yep. It's like they share a courtyard. So I'm just going to run out of the stadium, do the TV, and then run back for like the fourth quarter. But I can't be pounding in here, you know.
Yeah.
So that's going to...
So you're going to have to play catch up.
There's going to be a natural breaking point there for me, which I'm looking forward to, frankly.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. You need a little...
Thank you.
Intermission.
Yes,
need
correct.
A little intermission, yeah. Murray, was Atlanta the one where you took us to that freak show of a bar?
Yeah, the Claremont Lounge.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That's quote-unquote strip club.
Oh, yeah.
That was frightening.
Yeah, where the average age of the girls working there are 50.
Oh, you know, hideous.
But that's,
I think you're low.
But you liked it, Mike.
Oh, because it was.
Maz ran out of there like his hair was on fire.
Oh, there was a freak show.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
It was a completely unique place.
I was repulsed.
I started that night with you guys at dinner, but then, you know, some people have to work around here, so I couldn't follow through.
Yeah, not us.
No, God, no. Please, that place was scary. I mean, like...
Anything you want, you can get in that place. I sang Mr. Brightside by the Killers, because then they randomly started karaoke. Oh, that was a time.
That place just oozed of disease.
Okay, well, anyway, we're back at it tonight. We'll see how it goes. In the meantime, we got Greg Bedard finishing up his weekly stint. And two main items, I don't know if this matters, I think we've been treating it as a fait accompli. Jim McBride of the Globe also confirms Joe Judge is coming back in a role that is still to be determined, a league source confirmed Tuesday. So this is real. It's not just, I mean, it's, I guess it is still just being reported, but McBride put his stamp on it. I think McBride, you know, if his stamp is there, I think you can pretty much take it to the bank. And
I think Breer said it's the contract just needs to be signed here within the next few days. Oh, like it's Jesus. As done as can be.
So and look, we've read this excerpt before, thanks to Greg, who pointed out in the Seth Wickersham book that Bill, when they almost lost McDaniels to Indianapolis, that was now, what, 4 years ago? Belichick's plan was, well, he wanted more control of the offense, meaning Belichick wanted more control of the offense. And Belichick told associates, again, he wanted more control of the offense. He considered splitting up the duties between himself and special teams coach Joe Judge, another promising staffer. So this is what Belichick wanted to do when he lost McDaniels, or almost lost McDaniels 4 years ago. Now McDaniels is gone, and he's just going back to the plan that he had way back when. And this is what Bill always wanted to do. And I just think for the development of Mac Jones, that is freaking scary.
It is scary.
Does Joe Judge have any history working with quarterbacks?
I have no idea. And so look, because Bedard said this earlier about how Joe Judge is a good coach. So let me say this part of it, Greg. To your point, if this were Joe Judge coming back to coach special teams, I'm okay with that. I'm totally, because I think that that's an area they need an upgrade. That's an area in which he's got some success or track record here in New England, working for Bill. Fine. No problem. I get it. Because obviously what they had here last year did not work. But the offense, that somehow they are bringing him in, as Greg said earlier, as a supervisor. And Bill's an extension of Bill. Like, we have enough extensions of Bill in the organization at the moment. Between Matt Patricia now and Joe Judge, I don't need any more of those.
And they have no quarterback coach.
Correct.
Not to defend Joe Judge here again, but I just want to point out, just in fairness, that it's widely believed that being a special teams coordinator is probably the second toughest job on an NFL staff to a head coach. Because you're constantly dealing with guys going in and out. This guy's hurt. He's coming off. You got to plug people in. You got a game plan. You got to do all that stuff. He does have experience. So that 1 year as wide receivers coach, where Belichick thought enough of him, so he knows a lot of the scheme. So I just wanted to point those out in fairness, that it's not like it's a total foreign concept what he's going to be doing and involved with.
Like, I think teams should look more at special teams coordinators for head coaching jobs. Because unlike these defensive and offensive coordinators who only know one side of the ball and ignore the other side, the special teams coach deals with guys on offense. He deals with guys on special teams. It can be an administrative sort of job because you've got to get everybody lined up ready on the sideline. So it takes like a little, you know, if you know what I mean, administrative coaching. And so I can see those guys translating to head coaches. No problem. But now he's going to be working specifically with Mac Jones as a de facto offensive coordinator or supervisor. I don't know why anyone should feel good about that. And I just, again, I go back to the motivations of Belichick. It's you know, the Giants are paying his salary, and it's someone Bill is comfortable with and familiar with, and you know, and an associate. And that is now just the entire staff. The guys are either free, or they're just buddies, or they're the kids of buddies. And that's it. That's all you got. And now, who is the real offensive mind working with Mac Jones? So, like, that's just – that is scary. And the other thing we're going to hit on today, and we are hitting on today, is Tom Brady and leaving the door ajar for a return. We'll get to your back to your phones on all that after we have a parting word from Greg Bedard. Any final thoughts here, big boy, before you head out into the night?
No, I just hope Murray slams it on you tonight, and we get a lot of good stories tomorrow. But enjoy yourselves, because I hate you guys out playing golf and everything yesterday while it's freezing back here. And stop complaining about the convention center, you rat felger. Just, you know, just enjoy it out there, all right? Rubbing it in our face. Oh, it's too cold.
Is freaking freezing.
It is cold.
My nose is numbing. It's 77 and beautiful out there. I've been walking outside to just de-thaw. It's ridiculous in here. It's stupid. But either way, when the show's over, we're going to Manhattan Beach and have a few pops down there.
I hate you.
Yeah. So that's it. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for coming by, buddy. We appreciate
all right.
it.
See you guys.
Thanks, Greg.
So, yeah, yesterday was golf after the show. Today's little Manhattan Beach action. So there you go.
That's a tough one.
I have to warm up. But we will get back to your phones after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here. Go nowhere.
Did you know the VA provides a clothing allowance for qualified veterans?
Veterans benefits are always changing, and we've got your back. The SITREP is a show by veterans for veterans that answers questions about VA disability, VA home loans, VA health care, and even ones you didn't know you had.
Let's jump right into it. Are VA police real cops?
Allow us the privilege of connecting you with the benefits you earned and deserve. Search hashtag the SITREP on YouTube and subscribe today.